1 through 7. We've taken a little bit of a break for the last couple of weeks from the I Am series, talking about the I Am statements of Jesus, and today we're going to get back to that. We have a couple more of them to go to finish up this series, and Pastor Becky has taught us the key verse today, John chapter 14, verse 6, but we're going to start with verse 1 and kind of catch up with what's going on. So Jesus is speaking to his 12 disciples here, and he's saying, don't be troubled. You trust God, now trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's home, and I am going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know where I am going and how to get there. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We haven't any idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had known who I am, then you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you know him and have seen him. So, Lord, this is your word, and I just ask you to use it for your purpose and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does that mean? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at all three of those briefly and kind of talk about what they mean. But before we start with those three, the way, truth, and life, there's another word that we need to look at. It's a small word with a huge meaning. It's the word the, or the, however you pronounce it, T-H-E. English was one of my strong subjects in school. Now, you may not believe that, because I know once in a while my Missouri redneck country language comes out, and you think, what in the world is this guy talking about? But English was actually one of my stronger subjects in school, and we're going to look at some of this, because Jesus uses this little word in front of each of the defining words. So let's have just a quick review on an English lesson. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was in school, we had to do this thing called sentence diagramming. The teacher would put up a sentence in front of us, and we had to identify what the subject of the sentence was, the verb, the action verb. We had to look at pronouns and adverbs and adjectives and all the different parts of the sentence. And we had to label and diagram what each one of those words would represent. And the word the is what we know is what's called a definite article. It describes something that is factual or constant. If I ask you what 2 + 2 is, the answer is 4. Is that one of many answers to that equation? No, it's the only correct answer. 2 + 2 = 4. It's not one of many possible answers. Now, why do I say all this? Because we need to understand just how important this word is, especially in the context of the statement Jesus makes in this verse. So what's going on in the passage? Jesus knows that his appointment on the cross is coming quickly. He doesn't have much more time with his followers or with the 12, so he's trying to prepare them for what they can expect after he's gone. Now, the words in this chapter are meant to bring comfort. They're meant to bring hope and peace. He's trying to tell them what they have to look forward to, but what we have going on here is a conversation that is meant to give comfort results in a question. Jesus tells his disciples they know where he's going and they know how to get there. But in verse 5, as Pastor Becky already lifted out, Thomas makes a statement and he asks a question, and that's what prompts Jesus to make the I am statement for today. Thomas says, we don't have any idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus responds then, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So let's look at the way. What does Jesus mean when he says, I am the way? How many of us have ever gone on a trip of some kind? It might be a day trip. It might be an extended vacation. But no matter what type of trip it is, we have a starting point and we have an ending point called a destination. Now, there could be a lot of different ways to get where you're wanting to go. There's the fastest way. That's the way that takes the shortest amount of time to get there. There's the shortest way. Now, that's not always the same as the fastest way. When we lived in southern Missouri, we went to Branson. We went to Branson every year for our pastors and wives retreat. Now, there was a shorter way to go. And it took you through all the country roads, the very, very windy country roads. That was the trip my wife had to take all of her motion sickness medicine for if we went that way. It was shorter distance-wise, but the faster way was to actually go north out of West Plains, Missouri, and hit the highway going west to Springfield, Missouri, and then actually come back down Highway 65 from Springfield into Branson. That was the fastest way to go, but it wasn't the shortest. And then there's the scenic route. That's the way my dad always took. My dad was a farmer. And my dad loved, no matter where we were going, he wanted to drive through the country. And he took every back road you could find, and his head was on a swivel the whole time we were driving. And he's looking at this tractor over here or this pickup over here. He's looking at that farm and this farm. And he didn't care how long it took to get somewhere. He just wanted, as long as he got from where he was going, from where he was to where he was going, he was fine. So once we choose which way we want to go, we need a map. Now, we used to use a thing called a road atlas. Some of you in here know what that is. The big book that has a map of every state in it and some other places. We used to use a road atlas. Now we use this thing called a GPS or a navigation system in our cars or on our phone. When we get into the car to go somewhere, it's not unusual at all. Blenda will get the map up on her phone. She'll ask me something like this: which way do you want to go? This way's fastest, this way's the shortest, this way has toll road, this way doesn't, this way. She'll ask me all those questions. I'll say, I want to go this way. And she punches that route in, and that phone tells us where to go. But our spiritual travels are different. Jesus is talking about a different kind of journey here. He tells the 12 that he's going to his Father's house to prepare a place for them. He's telling them the destination. And in response to Thomas's question, Jesus also says, I am the way. Jesus tells them that they do know the way because they know him. This is where that important word, the, comes into play. Jesus didn't say, I am a way. He did not say, I am one of many ways. He said, I am the way. Why is that such a big deal? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 gives us an answer. It says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. That's the New International Version. But the New Living Translation says it like this: all of us have strayed away like sheep. We have left God's paths to follow our own. When we leave God's path and follow our own, we're no longer traveling the way. We're off of the way. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. There are many ways that we can go in life. There are a lot of paths that we can walk on. There are a lot of people that we can follow, but Jesus said he's the only way to the Father. He's the only bridge between God and man. He's the only way into God's presence. Following Buddha is not going to save us. Following Muhammad won't save you. Following Charles Russell and the Jehovah's Witnesses isn't going to save us. Following Joseph Smith and Mormonism isn't going to save us. Freemasonry is not going to save you. There's only one person, following one person, that's going to get us to where we need to go, and that's Jesus. He said, I am the way, and I'm the only one. All roads do not lead to heaven. All religions do not lead to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, and I'm the only one who will get you to where you want to go. He says, I am the truth. I am the truth. We have to ask ourselves a question, especially today. What is truth? What does truth mean? What was Jesus talking about when he said, I am the truth? Let's look at a few ideas about this. There's a thing called absolute truth. There's a thing in life called absolute truth, and that is the truth which cannot be changed or compromised, no matter what. The opposite of this would be what we know as relative truth. Those are ideas or thoughts about truth that can change over time based on circumstances and situations. Well, that might be the truth in this situation, but it's not truth in this situation. Might be truth for you, but it's not truth for me. Everything's we based everything relatively now on what we think we want to hear or what we think we want to do and get someone's opinion or approval. I've heard people use phrases like, well, you need to find your own truth. Or you need to live out your own truth. It's almost as if we get to choose our own version and idea of what truth is. We find some people who deal in what they call partial truth or half truth. In all honesty, there is no such thing. Because a partial truth and a half-truth are not truths at all. But Jesus is absolute truth. There's no inconsistency. There is no wavering. There is no changing. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's eternal. He's constant. He's consistent. He's the rock. He's the anchor. The truth of Jesus will never change, no matter how hard our society and our culture and our politicians try to change it. It doesn't change. Jesus is the truth. He's the absolute truth. Then we have what I call words of truth. Words of truth. In Jesus, we have what we know as the living Word of God. He's called the living Word because he came to perfectly fulfill the written Word. In John chapter 17, we find what we know as the prayer of Jesus. And several times during this prayer, in this chapter, Jesus talks about words of truth. In verses 6 through 8, we find this. Jesus is praying to the Heavenly Father, and he says, I have told these men, his disciples, I have told these men about you. I have told them about you. Words of truth. They were in the world, but then you gave them to me. Actually, they were always yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. A lot of words mentioned in there, words from the Father, words about the Father, words to the Father, words of truth. Just a few verses later in verses 13 through 17 of that same chapter, we find this. And Jesus continues his prayer and he says, and now I am coming to you. I have told them many things while I was with them, so they would be filled with my joy. Understand that? The words of Jesus can bring joy and fulfillment of joy. I've given them your word. The living word, giving them the spoken word. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not. He says, I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They are not part of this world any more than I am. Now listen to verse 17. Make them pure and holy by teaching them your words of truth. The NIV and New King James and some of the others use more language like this. It says, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. Words of truth. We have to be able to make sure. We have to make sure that we can understand and identify what words of truth are versus words of falsehood and untruth. Because we live in a world that's full of it. So we have the absolute truth, we have words of truth, and then we have what I call the demonstration of truth. You see, Jesus not only spoke words of truth, but he lived and demonstrated what the truth actually is. He didn't follow this whole idea of the do as I say, not as I do mentality. He didn't tell us to do one thing while he demonstrated something else. His whole life was a life that showed truth to everyone around him. One of my favorite commentators, William Barclay, writes this about it. He says, moral truth cannot be conveyed solely in words. It must be conveyed in example. I can tell you words that are actually true until I'm blue in the face, but if my actions don't match it, what good is it? Moral truth cannot be conveyed solely in words. It must be conveyed in example. No teacher has ever embodied the truth that he or she taught except for Jesus. Many can say, I have taught you the truth, but only Jesus could say, I am the truth. It's only in Jesus that we find the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you might want to say. Jesus is the truth that's never going to change. He's the truth who's never going to lead us astray. We need to find and follow the way and the truth. Finally, he ends with this. He says, I am the life. I am the life. Seems like we've talked a lot about this over the past course of the last several sermons in one fashion or another. But in this chapter, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, what does that mean? Well, in John chapter 1, we find these incredible words. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. In him was life. Complete life, perfect life, the very example of what life was supposed to be like. Here we see that Jesus is the creator of life. He was there in the Garden of Eden when God breathed the breath of life into Adam. He was there when all the universe and every living thing was created. He is the actual creator and source of life. Not only does he create life, he sustains life. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 28 says this, that God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. He is not served by human needs as if he needs anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Now listen to this. For in him, we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. He himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. Do you realize we don't take a breath? We don't take one breath that is not given to us and provided for us by God, by Jesus himself. For in him we live and move and have our being. When Jesus says, I am the life, he is telling us that he is the very essence and meaning of life and the only source of eternal life. I am the way, not one way, the way. I am the truth, not one version of the truth. I am the absolute truth. And he says, I am the life. The one who created, the one who sustains, the very one in whom you find life. But he's not done yet. He goes on to say, no one can come to the Father except through me. No one can come to the Father except through me. Now listen. This statement can seem pretty exclusive. And in some ways it is. The only way to eternal life is by knowing Jesus. By putting our faith in Him as our Savior and our personal Lord and Savior. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except through me. People try to tell us that as Christians we're intolerant, we're bigots, or we're just, you know, we think we're better than someone else because we think our way is the only way. I didn't say it. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. So in that way, it is exclusive. The only way we can get to heaven, the only way we can experience eternal life is through Jesus Christ. Nothing else will do. But it is also inclusive. It's an inclusive statement because he's telling us we can all reach the Father. We can all get to the Father. We can all get to the place he's going to prepare for us earlier in the chapter. It's just that we have to do it the right way. Look what he says in John chapter 3, verse 16. It tells us that everyone who believes in Jesus as their Savior will have eternal life. Joel chapter 2, verse 32 says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So yes, it's exclusive in the sense that there is only one way for us to enter the kingdom of heaven. There's only one way for us to enter the presence of the Heavenly Father, and that's by putting our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. But it's inclusive because he gives us all the same opportunity. Nobody's left out unless we choose to be. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He is the only absolute perfect truth. He is the only source of eternal life. But every one of us has the same opportunity to know him, to follow him, and experience the life he has to offer. There's a verse of an old hymn that came to my mind. Lexi asked me the other day why do you have the church hymnal out? And I said, because some words of a song came to my mind. I had to look it up. These few words of this old hymn called Whosoever Will might say it best. Verse 2 of that hymn says this, whosoever cometh, need not delay. Now the door's open, enter while you may. Jesus is the true, the only living way. Whosoever will, whosoever will may come. You see, the door is open. The door is open to everyone. Everyone who chooses to enter in. But the choice is ours. The choice is yours. No one can make that choice for you. No one can make that choice for me. We talked about last week, we're all responsible for our own choices and our own decisions. So I hope and I pray this morning you've made the choice. That you have called on Jesus, that you've repented, that you're living in relationship with him, that you know the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus as your own personal Lord and Savior. I want to thank you for being here today. I've asked Pastor Becky to come, and she's going to close us out in prayer this morning. And we will be in the lobby to greet you and say hello to you on your way out. But I just want to thank you for being here today. And I just ask that God would bless you immensely this week. Thank you.
I have a message to you from our church board. We were talking at the board meeting this week about how we love each one of you. We want to honor each one of you and the choices that you're making for your own health. There's messages we receive about the importance of wearing a mask. There's messages we receive about not wearing a mask. Social distancing is something that everyone is saying that that's what we should be doing. Thank you to Keith for the reminders today to social distance. We want to make sure that each person feels free and honored to do what they feel like is best for them. So at the close of the service, if you would like to go ahead and exit during this prayer time so that you can go to your vehicle, we certainly respect that, and we are just glad you're here. If you want to wait around and talk to some people, you're welcome to do that, and feel free to say, hey, I'm social distancing, I'm not hugging. Last week there was a couple people that, is it okay if I hug you? Yes, it's okay if you hug me. But you can say, no, you know, just, we want to have an environment where Jesus is the focus, not the virus, but at the same time honor each one of you and the decisions you're making. I'd like to encourage you this week to reach out to a couple people that weren't here or maybe that are here and just say, how are you? How are you doing? Because we love you. We love our congregation. We want to continue to reach out and do the message of Christ in our area here. I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer for us. Dear Lord, thank you for this passage. Let not our hearts be troubled. Trust in God. You are the way. We are so thankful that you provide a way for us to get to heaven. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Be with each one here as they face situations this week, as circumstances come. Just help us all to trust in you. You are the way. You're the truth. You're the life. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for our pastor and his family, each one that's here, Lord. Be with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.